America's Industrial Revolution began in New Jersey. The slogan from 1935, Trenton makes, the world takes, is the name on a railroad bridge in New Jersey built in the early 1800s. Everything from silk to sewing machines was made in the Garden State at one time, and the retreat of the manufacturing economy left a footprint of toxic waste often invisible to citizens living nearby and unknown to communities that have grown up on sites long abandoned. Investigator Sarah Gonzalez, a reporter for WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio, has produced Dirty Little Secrets, a series all about unearthing what is unknown about the ground beneath the feet of so many New Jersey citizens.
The information that's available at the state's Department of Environmental Protection, there's no way to really look at what the contamination landscape is like in New Jersey. The DEP told me you basically have to go to the site of where the contamination is, look for a sign. On that sign, there should be a phone number to the person assigned to address the contamination, investigate the contamination, call that person. And if that person decides to call you back, then you can get more information. I will say there are reports available online. You can search what's called the PI number. It's kind of like the site identification number, but it's pretty cryptic. I mean, unless you know the environmental contamination jargon, you really can't make out what the nature of the contamination is there and what the status of any cleanup is.
Well, some people get pretty alarming signs of the contamination without having to call any phone numbers or look for any signs. What do residents of Newark think about the suspicious sites that are in their own neighborhoods?
Right. So one of the things that we heard a lot was that some contamination you can kind of there are signs that there is a contaminated site. Smell is usually one of the big signs. But a lot of this contamination doesn't smell, and you have no way of knowing that you are breathing in toxic fumes until someone comes out and investigates the air quality or tests the soil or tests the groundwater. So this is Modesto Vieira. He's a resident in the Ironbound neighborhood in Newark, and he found out that he had been breathing in toxic fumes from an old lighter fluid factory for years before the state became aware of it.
It was like a gassy smell, and we couldn't figure out what it was. We thought the house was dirty, the pipes were not cleaned or something, and sometimes I kind of felt that I was out of breath. And that could have been the problem, I don't know. But ever since they dug the holes in here, the air has gotten better, and I don't feel the headache as much.
So this the home that he's on, when I actually went there, the site of the contamination is called Ronson Metals Corporation. Mm-hmm. And so I go out there with a kind of community advocate, and I'm looking for Ronson Metals Corporation, and I get to this cul-de-sac, and it's a row of condos. And I'm like, where's Ronson Metals? And she's like, this is Ronson Metals. Homes were never supposed to be built on here. And they were, because there's just very little communication between the state and developers. And so the DEP eventually, when they became aware of it, they stepped in, they tested the soil, and they installed these air filters. It's basically like an exhaust pipe. It's kind of like a Band-Aid to the contamination is still there, but at least it's not harming people. And the states, if they become aware that something is harming residents, they'll step in, even if the original polluter or the developer, you know, doesn't step in. And they put in these sort of fixes. But the contamination, like the source of the contamination, it's still there. It's still underground.
And of course, kids playing in the yard has nothing to do with them. What do activists say about the social justice implications of the people who are really close to these sites compared with the general population of New Jersey?
So WNYC's data news team mapped out all of the contaminated sites in New Jersey. There are some that are considered immediate environmental concerns, but there are sort of Band-Aids in place. There are sites where nobody has been hired to clean up the contamination, and then there are sites where somebody has been hired to clean up the contamination. And we looked at where all of these sites are in relation to people. And we found that 90% of New Jerseyans live within a mile of a contaminated site, of any sort of contaminated site. So basically the entire state. But then we looked at the sites where no one has been hired to clean up the contamination. And we found that 75% of people who live below the poverty line in New Jersey live within a mile of one of these sites. And it's 75% of the state's Black population, 80% of the state's Hispanic population. They are living near one of these sites that have no cleanup plan. And what we found was that I mean, everyone I spoke with, the DEP, developers, the owners of these contaminated sites, they all told me that what triggers the cleanup of a contaminated site is usually some kind of transaction, so like the sale of a property. Mm. So if some developer wants to buy this contaminated property, remediate it, put condos on it, you know, then it'll get cleaned up. If there's no interest, it's just kind of up to the owner of the site to clean it up, and it's expensive, and the owners of these sites are not always the original polluters.
So you've got a spiral in places like Camden and Newark. You've got lower real estate prices because these are on contaminated sites. There's no remediation unless there's a transaction, but these are places where the real estate values are declining anyway, so it's not like a hotbed of real estate interest. So therefore, these places stay neglected and stay neglected and stay neglected.
Right. And I want to be clear, the DEP says, you know, these are not sites where people are at risk. And if they find out, oh, we know that this was like some smelting plant, then they will go, they'll test the soil, and they will step in.
So, Sarah, how did New Jersey decide to outsource this remediation work to move to a privatized system?
I mean, it was supposed to be a solution to the problem. In 2006, the DEP learned that kids at a daycare center in South Jersey had really high levels of mercury in their bodies because it had turned out that this daycare center was allowed to open in an old thermometer factory. And so a couple years after that, the state legislature, the governor at the time, he decided to outsource the cleanup. Everyone admitted, we're not getting to these sites fast enough. And so they decided, let's bring in outside private contractors, let them address the contamination, and then we can get to these sites faster.
Sarah Gonzalez, thanks so much.
Of course, thank you.
Sarah Gonzalez, reporter with WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. WNYC's data news team mapped out all of the contamination sites in the state, from those with no cleanup plan to those with immediate environmental concerns. And you can find the toxic sites near you if you're a New Jersey resident at WNYC.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.